Today is the 16th of August, and I am in the home of Doreen Tripp and her father, George, at 226 Lippincott. Doreen lived here her whole life. It's her father moved in when he married into this family, and your mother lived here pretty much her whole life. Okay. So I would like the two of you to just introduce yourselves and tell me.
I was married before I went overseas.
You were married to Mrs. Tripp?
Yes, before I went overseas. My oldest daughter was born when I was in Holland. Overseas.
And what year was that?
She was born in, let's see.
A year and a half.
All right. We were married in 44, so it would be 45. That's
your daughter was born in 1945?
Yes.
Okay. And Doreen, what year were you born?
1947.
Okay. And you've been here since 1947. Now, you were saying earlier, you said, George, that your wife's family lived here and you got married in 1944 and you moved in here.
Well, I was in the Army.
Right.
So I didn't really move in here until I come home from overseas.
And tell me what you know of when your wife, when your wife was a child and she lived here with her family. Who built the house? Who lived in the house?
Mr. Smith built these 24 and 26.
What year?
In the middle teens.
So about 1915.
Take about 1915, somewhere in that age.
Wow, your family has a very long history in this house.
Yes.
I just want to interrupt briefly because I think we should have it on tape. Would you please tell me how old you are now?
Me?
Yes.
97. Be 98 in the 20th of January next.
Beautiful. Okay, I just think that should be on the record. Doreen, did you want to say something?
No, I'm just going to tell him how sharp he is, and he does a lot of things around here.
Yeah, certainly your mind is beautiful.
Well, I've slowed down an awful lot.
He does. He always says that, but I just admire him because he planted. We just had a fresh tomato for supper that he pulled from the garden.
We had a few beans that I brought in from the garden. The squirrels eat the bean plants all off but two. So we just had a few beans left.
That's annoying.
But for him to, to plant it.
Right. I agree with you. He's a fabulous 97-year-old.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Am I speaking loud enough for you? Am I speaking loud enough for you?
Oh, yes.
Thank you. Okay. So if you can tell me a little bit about what you know of the early years, approximately 1915, what was happening that your wife told you about her growing up here?
Well, no, she didn't tell me much about growing up here, no. So I can't tell you too much about things back then. All I know about on the street was when I come home from overseas.
And that was 1945?
Yes, just before Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And I've been here ever since.
What? Can you tell me a little bit about... Doreen, please, I'm speaking to both of you.
Well, I do remember. I do remember a guy ringing a bell and going down the street to cut our knives.
Oh, yes.
And the rag man, I think they called him. I remember that. I remember the bread being delivered door to door, and it was Wonder Bread. And I remember milk being put in the, and the milk was on the cream was on top of the milk.
Oh, my.
And it was in glass bottles, and it was delivered in the door before grocery stores, and it was fresher. I remember that.
And how were these people moving through the streets? What were the vehicles of you?
Was there any horses when we had the milk delivered?
Yes, there was three ice people delivered ice on this street when I come home from overseas. One was with horse vehicle, and two was with little trucks.
I would think that using horses to deliver ice, it could really begin to melt.
And then, of course, again, the milk was delivered by a horse-drawn vehicle.
And where were the horses kept? Do you know? Somewhere around here?
Well, Mr. Smith had, or Harvey, Harvey had a horse that...
It was in the back.
Flower.
So the horses were in the back here?
Yeah, his... my mom's brother, I didn't know this, had horses in the back, in the where they keep, where you normally keep a car.
So those horses were the delivery horses, as far as you know.
Well, maybe not for delivering milk, but whatever mom's brother did, they kept horses in the back.
So that's
I didn't even know that. See, I'm finding that out today, too, because Dad doesn't talk a lot to me, so I don't know.
Yeah. So that would have been... we are now on Lippincott.
Yeah.
On the west side, and we're south of Harvard.
Uh-huh.
And that's where your uncle had horses.
He must have did some deliveries and something that he had a horse.
Mm-hmm.
Or horses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, those are some very interesting memories that you have. Anything else? So you talked about deliveries. What are some of the other memories that you have of your childhood in this neighborhood?
Well, what I liked is the different cultures. Like, it started off with the Jewish culture.
Mm-hmm.
I like different cultures. And, of course, I'm very in favor of Jewish. We have the rabbi that lives across the street, and oh, they're so good to me. And, of course, I'm really interested in the Jewish culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, it was Jewish, and then it was Ukrainian. Italian, Polish.
Now, were all these at the same time, or one followed the other?
Mainly a Jewish culture first, and then Ukrainian, because they bought the house next door, they were Ukrainian, and Italian. And then Portuguese. So that I don't know what it is now, but I think it's Vietnamese a lot. But that was the main culture that I remember.
On Lippincott Street,
yes.
South of Harvard.
Yes.
Okay. And what's your family heritage?
Well, I just know that mom came from England. And
mom's father, your mother's father came from England.
Yeah, mom's father came from England. And mom's mother, I know, was it Kitchener or?
Chesley. She was born up in Chesley. That's up not far from Owen Sound.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what's your heritage? Where did you grow up? Where did your parents grow up?
Oh, my parents, if you know Simcoe County,
yes.
Tiny township.
Yes.
All right. We farmed in Simcoe County, in Tiny Township.
And you grew up on the farm?
Yes.
What kind of farm was that?
Well, it was actually a dairy farm, because that's before the hydro come in. We milk cows by hand.
Oh, of course.
And then we got into the ice business. My brother...
That's the picture. Dad developed that ice machine.
Ice there. That's me behind the machine cutting ice off of Georgian Bay.
Oh, my God. I'm going to make a copy of that picture before I leave.
He developed that himself.
That's the first ice cutting machine that I... made up for cutting, because before that you had a big saw and you drew it up and down by hand.
Developed that himself.
So
you were an inventor.
Well, as everybody said, I was the lazy one in the family. There was five boys in our family. I, my sister was the oldest, and then there was the five boys. I was the third in the family. And I'd done anything that nobody else wanted to do because it was always easier.
Like, or maybe because it was harder. Why would they not want to do it? You probably did the hardest jobs.
No, I used to do all the, when the boys went out to do the morning chores, I sit in by the stove in the wintertime and I darn socks.
I'll bet your mother appreciated the help.
Well, of course, she, with five boys, she had too many socks to darn, and I was able to sit by the stove and while they'd done the morning chores before breakfast, and my mother was getting breakfast ready.
See, and that motor that he made, that's from a car motor. Dad invented that himself.
Well, no, I just stuck it together. I made a better outfit after that, but I haven't got a picture of it. But it was to save work that I...
To make it more efficient for you.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, but you created it. You invented it.
There was other people had ice cutting machines. Mm-hmm. I had saw one that a fella had made. It was Sigovich. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I made up this one. Anyway, my brother delivered ice, and my sister and brother that's next to me, younger than me, they, when we first put in an ice house at the beach, at Woodland Beach, where they delivered ice and milk. We had 30 head of milk cows.
Oh, so it was a big farm.
And my mother could milk 3 cows while I was milking 1.
So she was a good farmer.
Oh, yeah, she was good.
Let's come back to our time here. I just want to ask one more question. Where did your family come from before that? Do you know?
Oh, now I'm not sure whether they came up from New York State or whether they came up from Pennsylvania.
Okay, so quite a few generations were in North America is what you're saying. Because if you're 97 and the older generations were already in North America is what we're talking about.
Oh, yes.
Yes, okay, what I was wondering.
Yes, they had farmed, my father was born in Floss Township. Uh-huh. That's in Simcoe County.
Okay, now while you were answering the door, Doreen was talking to me about the different waves of people who lived in this neighborhood.
Oh, yes.
So I'd like to ask you the same question. When you started living here and what your recollection is of the different groups who lived here and then moved away.
Well, right across the street where there's a Jewish family now, there was a Jewish family lived there. And next door was the Silvers. There was the old parents. Then there was 3 daughters. They were grown up my age, I guess. And one brother, he worked for the Silvers at downtown. They were in the, if you wanted to rent suits and that.
Oh, okay.
And he, the silver man there, worked for relatives downtown. Mm-hmm.
Sid Silver?
There was a
Sid Silver.
Silver.
There was Silver's rental, and they rented a lot of
Sid Silver. I remember that. But
formal wear.
Yeah, but I didn't know they were related. Yeah. I never thought they lived across the street and they were related.
Yeah. Okay, so instead of going into the specifics, if you could just think of generally, so you're talking about you had Jewish neighbors.
Yeah.
And the different groups, can you recall that?
All right. The woman 2 doors down, she was a black lady. She was a midwife.
Oh.
And she had 2 daughters that, or I guess it was 2 daughters and a son, but I just knew the 2 daughters. When I was working, after I come home from overseas. I was home about a month when I started working for the TDC.
Is that what you did for many years?
31 years.
Oh.
First 15 on night shift, 11 till 7:30 in the morning.
And what did you do for the TTC?
I was, first year I was sweeping cars, sweeping streetcars.
Uh-huh.
And then I got on to night emergency, where anything that tied streetcars, or at that time they had trolley coaches, or trolley coaches up, we had a truck and we'd go out and get things cleared,
mm-hmm.
or the best we could,
mm-hmm.
or if the, if a streetcar, if it wasn't fit for an operator to operate it, I could either fix it on the road or I could operate it into the division.
You were good mechanically.
Well, I was mechanically minded,
yes.
So,
so is that what you did your entire working life, working for the TTC?
Yes, I was 31 years with the the last 15 years, I was on electrical work under subway cars out on Greenwood. So you
were there for 3 decades, but you had variety in what you were doing.
Oh, yes, very much so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. How old were you when you retired?
I was, I guess I retired when I was 61 or 62, because I, at that time I had poor health.
Uh-huh. You had poor health and you're 97. That's like seven and a half. Oh, my God.
Well, I had a hernia,
uh-huh.
and I've always had diarrhea.
Oh,
don't want to put that on.
I shouldn't put that on.
Too late.
We have it. But you've lived a long life, and you are living, and you're in good shape.
Well, it's...
Yeah, yeah.
I just take one day at a time.
Yeah, well...
He said his breathing was bothering him today, so he does have some problems, but he does really well for his some problems.
Yeah. Since you've lived in this house, has it been the two of you and your two daughters? Were there any other people who ever lived here with you?
Yeah, when Mom... That was before you got married, that we had a rumor.
Oh, no.
No?
Your mother and her sister had rumors after I got married.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Can you imagine this?
They rented the flat upstairs out.
And there's still one bathroom.
So four of you lived on this level, and there were...
On the third floor.
And wait a minute, your mother's sister was also living here.
Yes.
Yeah, she was the oldest. Eva was the oldest. Hilda was the youngest. And Eva was the oldest. The two women lived together.
Okay, so the four of you, your mother's...
I had three daughters.
Oh, three daughters.
Yeah.
The one daughter, my oldest daughter, lives in Middleton.
Okay.
Mrs. Smith.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
She went back to Smith name again.
Uh-huh.
And my youngest daughter, Mrs. D. Rush, lives in Cambridge.
And you're the middle daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way he's a middle son.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So you were a lot of people living under this roof.
Mm-hmm.
With, as you say, Doreen, with one bathroom.
Yes, still one bathroom.
Still. And what about kitchen? Did everybody use this kitchen, or was there a separate?
No.
Well, second floor, the people that... They had the kitchen on the second floor.
Okay, but one bathroom, but they had their own kitchen.
Yes, they had their own kitchen.
Uh-huh.
The bathroom for everybody was on the second floor up here.
Do you remember it feeling crowded or difficult or not?
You don't remember those things when you're younger because you're so resilient when you're younger.
Mm-hmm.
So you just take it in stride. Especially when we had a cottage that had a water pump and we had to heat everything up on a wood stove and have coal oil lamps.
Is that what you had here?
No. We had coal here. We had to shovel coal here at one time.
Yes.
So they would put it into a big bin and you had to shovel it into the...
We had one section of the basement here that when we got the coal in the fall, we'd get 8 tons put in the basement.
8 tons?
To fire. This place isn't very well insulated.
Yeah, I'll bet, yeah.
And so it takes quite a bit of coal for that. Now, of course, with the gas heating away.
Do you remember when you changed it over?
It was changed over just about the time you were born, I guess.
1947.
So you have no... You didn't see the coal.
I remember a little bit about the coal. I don't know whether... Yeah, I remember, though, because I remember the shoveling and Andy Eva having to... we have to get ready for the coal. I do, even at that young age, I don't know what age. I remember all about the coal.
But that was a big transition time then, yeah, when you changed from coal to gas.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because we have the 3 units on gas now here. The hot water, the furnace, and the stove. Mm-hmm.
And who's living here? Now it's the two of you.
Just the two of us.
Okay. And you're not rattling around. It seems to me that you use it quite comfortably.
Yes.
The two of you.
Yes.
You talked a little bit about the different ethnic groups. What about languages? Did you hear different languages on the
Yes, I would pick up, like I'd say, I don't want any kafelta fish. No more kafelta fish. That's what I'd pick
up. That was your Yiddish.
Yeah, that was my Yiddish. And then Ukrainian. Я не знаю так.
So you picked up phrases from different languages.
Yes.
Yeah.
And of course, my hands were Italian. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's. And what did you just say in Ukrainian? What did you just say?
I think, I'm trying to remember now. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
In Ukrainian.
But that's funny how you use your hands to, that's how you spoke Italian.
Yes. Yes, with my hands. Yes.
So you're saying that through the years you did hear a lot of, you heard other languages.
Yes.
And what schools did you go to?
I went to Cangrid, but I also went to a special school, Sunnyview, for people with disabilities.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And were you did you play with the children in the neighborhood at all?
Not so much, because at that time they weren't versed to disabilities, so no.
Can you tell me what your disability is?
I have there's 8 forms of cerebral palsy, and I have 1 form. Mine isn't as bad as some, but there's 8 forms of cerebral palsy, and mm-hmm. I've got 1 of the forms of cerebral palsy.
Uh-huh. So you're saying that prevented you from just going onto the street and playing with the other kids?
Yes. Because, mm-hmm. you know, people they don't understand it that well now, but they really didn't understand it then.
And when are your sisters in good health without something like cerebral palsy?
Well, they seem to be. I mean, yeah. Kathy doesn't like getting older, and I think Barbara, but it's just like everybody getting older, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And did your sisters bring friends into the house, or was this house too crowded?
I think Barb did. I don't think I did as much, because mm-hmm. I didn't have that many friends at that time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So... I remember trying to play hopscotch, you know, as a kid. You know, that's the beauty, you know, where TV didn't interfere because there wasn't any, and so you made up your own games and you know, all that sort of thing. So that was an advantage.
Yeah. When the children that your sisters played with, or the neighbors, my question is, how did people get along? People from different backgrounds and ethnic groups.
I think they got along better than they do today. That's my... Because I don't know. What do you think, Dad?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, nobody got angry and ready to hurt someone, you know, when I was growing up.
Did you feel that way? People got along better at that time than now?
Oh, yes. Well, people... back when I was growing up, they depended on each other more.
Can you go into that in a little more detail? In what ways?
Well, like when I first came home from overseas, there was a Scotchman lived next door. And one time, I had the car here from our family car from up north, and his car wouldn't start. So I towed him to get him started. And when I towed him to get him started, when it started, he said, "All right, how much do I owe you?" I said, "We're next door neighbors." I said, "Maybe someday I'll have to get you to tow me to get me started." "Oh no," he says, "I'll pay you now." And he says, "If you need a tow sometime, you will pay me."
Oh, so he wanted it to be a business deal.
He was a Scotch fellow.
Yeah.
Oh. Nice fellow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But people were like that, you know. It was when I grew up, you see, I grew up on a farm, and fall of the year, you went to different people's places thrashing.
Mm-hmm. The farming, you helped each other.
Yeah, you helped. You went into the help with the thrashing, and the syndicate, you might say, had a steam tractor and a cleaner for cleaning the grain and that. And of course, I didn't get much education because I said I didn't need an education for following a team of horses behind a plow. So I only got part of a public school education.
But you learned to read and to write.
Yes.
And to do some arithmetic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I worked part-time at a garage in Elmville as a mechanic, learning mechanical work, and worked on the farm and that. So I got a bit of education from working there.
But see, he got his skills from doing it. See, too many people put what the degrees they have, they don't put on the knowledge of what they've learned. Like, he learned more mechanical skills and he got his degree in the Army. They taught him the mechanical ways and means. And that's where he gets it wrong. See, because even my mother, she didn't value a lot of things of what they've learned and what they were taught to do, because nowadays it's everything, what's your degree, not on what you learn and what knowledge you have. And you know, you might have gone to a trade school or not just university, and that's a misdemeanor as far as I'm concerned,
you know.
Because there's, I mean, his knowledge, you know, it, when he dies, it's going to go. And he's got a lot of knowledge. I mean, he's done a lot for the city nobody knows. He was the supervisor for when we had it at the Hollow, I forget what you call it, you know, where they had a big flood. Well, he took charge of that. My dad
just a minute.
Okay. Well, that's what I understood.
That's when the time of Hurricane Hazel's what she's talking about.
Yeah, I couldn't remember.
What year was that?
Hey.
What year was that?
I'm not sure what year that was. But, all right, I was working the night shift at Ronsonville, and when Hurricane Hazel come along, the night foreman was off on his off days, and I swung for the night foreman, like I done emergency work, but also on his off days, I looked after the things around the barn. And so that's what she's getting into. But it was just I was in charge of things there right at that time, and that was quite a flood
and quite a challenge to be in charge of.
Yeah.
See, he doesn't realize how important I try to tell him, you know. Like, I just love listening to... He's got a lot of stories. You just got to pump him to get his stories. But he's got a lot of stories and a lot of knowledge.
Well, Doreen, I agree with you that people can be... possibly they didn't have a lot of education, and they can still be very intelligent and very knowledgeable.
That's right.
You don't necessarily need university education or major credentials. I mean, you ended up being a mechanic. You invented this wonderful ice cutting machine, and you have 31 years of working for the TTC. So it's a different kind of education.
Yes, yeah. Because in those days they didn't have university anyway. I mean, you know, they figured the factories would always be there and the jobs would always be there, that we wouldn't get so fast with technology as we have now. And see, I want people to value who they are and what they've done, and not what they could have done or what they don't have. I'd like to see what they have.
Well, I'm certainly seeing that in your dad.
Yes.
What he has accomplished.
Yes.
Much to be admired and respected.
Yes. And that's what I would like to see people, no matter what their age is what God has given them now. Yeah. You know.
And what they're doing with it.
Yes.
How they're using it.
Yes. How they're using it.
I'm coming back to our neighborhood.
Okay.
In terms of who lives here, who has lived here, the kinds of work people have done, we are talking about education now.
Mm-hmm.
So your father had this very stable job and at work life for many years. I'm talking about the socioeconomic makeup of, well, Lippincott is the street you know the best.
Mm-hmm.
So who has lived here in the past? You said that there's the rabbi across the street now, and they've been very nice to you.
Yes.
So who, from your recollection, who lives here now, and who lived here 20 and 40 years ago?
Well, my mom's brother lived next door.
Yes.
And as I said, the Ukrainian people next door there.
And what kind of work were they doing? Who were they?
What kind of work did the Horlicks do? I don't know.
Well, Bev Smith. Before I knew him, he worked for Arnold's up the street, a butcher.
Oh, yeah, at the corner there was a butcher.
On the other side of the street, the second door down from Harbor Street, was a butcher shop.
Mm-hmm.
And Bev, before he went in the army, he worked for Arnold's, the butcher. And then when the war broke out, he went in the army. He went overseas just about the time that I went into the army. So, back in the mid-30s, like there.
So he was a butcher.
Mid-40s, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
I never met him until I was in Holland. And he came up, he was in Belgium just when the war ended. And I was in Holland. He came up to see me in Holland, and that was the first I'd met my brother-in-law. Well, except the other brother-in-law that had a bookstore downtown, Harvey. I used to visit him quite often when I was in the army here, because I put in part of the time in the army down on Naza Street in an old schoolhouse there. We had trucks, army trucks there.
So that was part of your serving?
That was part of my training before I went overseas.
Right. From years ago, during your childhood, or many years ago when you were here, do you remember anybody having any businesses at home, inside their homes? Any kind of work?
Well, I think Mr. Smith had a business here.
Father-in-law?
Yes. He had a bigger shop back on 228.
A what shop?
A bigger shop. He used to make up his designs for flooring.
Oh.
Like in the front hall, you'll see his design of flooring.
So he had a shop of making designs
later
for
years,
for
he made up his own.
And he worked from the house.
Worked from
his home was his business.
Earlier years, he worked for Mr. Eaton, T.T. Timothy Eaton.
Yeah. So can you think of other people who had any kind of, that's one good example, any other kinds of work that people did in their homes, from their homes?
I don't know.
Mom's brother had a cartridge business.
That was later years.
Later years.
Yes.
Yes.
And he worked from his house.
Uh-huh.
Yes, he had.
Yeah.
Had a small cartage business in three trucks.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And so his home was his office.
Delivering mm-hmm. from his home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Anything else you can think about that?
Mm.
But those are two very strong examples, and that was right within your family.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I used to drive one of his trucks in afternoons. I'd work nights, then I'd sleep in the forenoons, and afternoons I'd take one of the trucks with just a small load and deliver around the city.
You were a hard-working man.
Well, I like to fill the time in.
I know now, in 2012, these streets are all a maze, you know.
Yes.
North, south.
Yeah.
What was it like many years ago? 60 years ago, 50 years ago?
But
the streets, people.
This street was a one-way street.
It was a two-way street.
It was a two-way street. Yes, you see, there was all houses where the playground is at the Central Tech.
Mm-hmm.
There was all houses up Lippincott on the west side of Lippincott, mm-hmm. right up through there.
So the whole way up, so they took down a lot of houses to put Central Tech in there.
Oh, yes.
Lot of houses.
Yeah,
yes.
They took down a lot of houses because they took down the houses on Bathurst Street as well as on Lippincott, you see, when they made that playground there. Because Central Tech back in them years didn't have a playground.
So you remember those houses while they were there?
Oh, yes, because...
Did you ever... Sorry.
Oaks is quite a few of the families.
You knew people living there.
I knew them.
I knew
quite a few of the people on this street, too.
What was it like for them? They were kicked out of their homes?
Well, I guess the city must have... Or they confiscated them, I guess you'd call it. That's about the size of it.
That's how that must have been. That's how they felt. They were living there and happily, probably.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I forget where the Oakses moved to. There was two families of the Oakses up there. They were plumbing people.
But you remember, you knew some of those people.
Oh, yes.
And you remember when they were forced to vacate. Yes. Even if they were bought, they still had to leave their location.
Yes.
Do you remember some of the things that they said about it?
What?
Do you remember anything that they said when they were told that they had to move out?
No, I don't remember.
You don't remember that?
No. No, it was kind of a hush-hush thing when they done that.
I can imagine they were not... Maybe it was nice to get paid, but...
That's just the clock.
Oh, that's your clock. I thought you had birds.
No, that's
a darn clock out there. It's not the right time.
We've had it for years. He won't get rid of it. It's not going to make it anymore.
But I thought you had birds in the kitchen.
No.
And put,
no, Mom loved birds.
Uh-huh. So you had a clock that sounds like birds. Yeah. But it doesn't tell the right time.
No.
No, that clock isn't. And anyway...
At that time, or through the years since you've been here for so many years, how did people get around? What were the different means of getting from place?
Walked a lot.
Okay.
Walked a lot, and then, of course, there was the Harvard streetcar.
And where did that take you?
It come up Spadina. It came up Spadina, went along over to Ossington, up Ossington, along Bloor to Dovercourt, and up Dovercourt to Wood Hollow Street.
to what street?
Helm Street.
Helm Street.
Yeah.
So it was a good route. Quite a long route.
Yes, there was streetcars run on Harvard.
Okay, what else?
And then, of course, when they started cutting down on streetcars, they done away with that line.
So there were streetcar tracks also on Harvard.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the tracks are filled up. They're just paved over them on Harvard. In fact, before there was lights there, Harvard and Bathurst, that's before I started working for the TDC, really. There was a bit of an accident there and took the handrail off of the middle doors of a streetcar. And a couple of days, the handrail was laying up against the house there, so I took it and I have it for a handrail. But that's before I ever worked for the TDC.
Oh, that's a good one.
So, and where do you have it?
For the handrail going up the stairs.
Oh, we'll have to look at it before I leave. Or maybe I'll take a picture of it before I leave. That's good.
Yes, it was.
Were there a lot of bikes at that time?
Not really, no. Uh-huh.
There are a lot of bikes now.
Yeah. I don't know what handrail he's talking about, because the handrail going up the stairs, I thought he got that from a door. Is that the handrail from there?
Yeah, that's...
Oh.
Look how much you're learning today.
See, the thing is, he's so smart.
Yeah. And has a lot of life experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
So as you start the stairs, that handrail that I thought was a door was what he got from the accident. And that's a lot of years ago, and it's sitting there.
Well, I want to see it.
Yeah, well... my sister-in-law was a fairly hefty woman, and she needed a handrail on the stairs. So that was the handiest thing to put there.
Very, very practical.
Then yes. Afterwards, I get working for the same company.
I don't know what you have behind the house in terms of a lane, because I haven't.
There is a lane in the back.
Okay.
Yes, it's dead end lane.
Oh, it's a dead end.
Just opens onto Harvard Street. Doesn't go onto Ulster.
Okay, so it's not a through lane.
No.
No, it's when I came here first, it just came down as far as 224.
So it's just next door to you. So it's been it was extended then.
Later, when the city took it over, then they extended it down so that the people. All the rest of the way down has garages on it now.
And is it used much now?
Is it used much?
Yeah.
Used a lot.
In what ways?
Well, the people that go to work use it for, and they have their garages for to put their cars in.
Mm-hmm.
There's an old shed that at the back of here that I put my car in. Because I still drive.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I got my license this year for another 2 years.
Oh, my God, so that'll bring you to...
But he doesn't drive... He only drives to go grocery shopping and because he can't lift the... He can't carry the groceries and to go up to the cottage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, about every 2 weeks I go up to the cottage.
You drive to the cottage?
Oh, yeah. I like driving on the highway.
Oh, my God. So you have your license now that'll take you to 99 and a half.
Yeah.
Because you're not. And you drive on the highway.
Oh, yes. I love driving on the highway.
Fabulous.
Yes. I've had a license for over 80 years.
So you were quite young when you got your license.
Hey?
Yeah, you were young when you got your license.
16.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. There were.
So the back lane, people use it for their cars. Was it ever used in any other ways in your recollection, the back lane?
No.
Uh-huh.
That's all it's used.
Well, what about the horses you were talking about?
Well, you see, the people down there, I don't know whether they had horses or not, but Harvey Smith had a horse here. because he took his flowers around with horse, you know.
Oh, so that's another thing that was being delivered. Harvey delivered his flowers with his horse and buggy.
Yes, he had a horse.
That was your brother-in-law?
That was my brother-in-law, yes.
Did the horse have a name? Did the horse have a name?
Oh, gosh, I wouldn't know. No.
Dad doesn't like horses too much because the horse did.
About the time shortly after I got married, mm-hmm. when I came home from overseas, he had gone out of the flower business and he was into the bookstore business, and he had his own place downtown. Mm-hmm. But before that was when he had the horse. And of course, we always had horses on the farm because we had five horses.
So they were working horses.
Working
horses. It wasn't for going for a ride or jumping.
No.
Your back garden, how have you used it through the years? What have you had in your back garden through the years?
Well, I usually try to have I tried carrots one year, but the animals eat the carrots off, so they weren't any good. Last year, I had good beans, but this year, of course, part of them didn't come up, and the other part, except two, the squirrels eat them off.
It's annoying.
Well, I guess the coons did too, but I just saw the squirrels eating them off when they came up with that high. And then, of course, I have quite a few tomato plants. We had a few beans for supper off of it.
And are you the person who does the gardening?
Well,
or do you share that?
I can't do it.
So he does all the gardening?
Yeah.
Planting?
Well, George next door does. George next door cuts our grass. George next door is really good to us.
But in terms of...
I can't put my head down very much because if I put my head down, I fall
dizzy.
Over.
Oh, okay.
I'm not, not too stable on my feet. But goodbye.
You certainly do. I noticed after I rang the bell and I was waiting outside that you have a lovely large front porch.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you have used much or not at all? Your front porch.
Oh, yes, I sit out there once in a while. That's why you see the chair out there.
Uh-huh.
I sit and watch the people going by.
Yeah.
Used to... But before television come along, why we used to sit out quite a bit because you knew the people up and down the street, and some would stop and have a couple of words. And with the wife growing up on the street, why she knew the older people than I did, you know, quite a lot of the people.
So did you sit out with your wife sometimes? Did both of you sit out here together?
Sit out there, yes. We had a couple of chairs. In fact, now I have one there and one at the back, where we had two chairs out the front then. And so we'd sit there and watch the people go by.
And sometimes have conversations with them.
Oh, yes.
Do you ever use the front porch or not?
Well, I get up at 3:30 in the morning, and I usually am out the door at 6:30, so I don't...
To go to work?
Yeah.
What is your work?
I work for the City of Toronto.
And what do you do?
I'm a general clerk,
uh-huh.
37 years, November 24th, 1974.
So you're...
I was the first disabled person to work for the city, and it hasn't been easy, but I do it.
Tell me what you mean when you say it hasn't been easy.
Well, because I have a disability.
Yes.
People label you when you have a disability, and you have to work harder because you have to be perfect, and it's really hard because you can't be perfect because nobody's perfect. Only God is perfect. So it makes it hard because you have these perceptions that you have to live down. And if you started to work where you work really hard, you have to continue it all the time because there's no in-between at all. So it's really hard. So, but I like my work.
And you, sorry,
But as I said, it just means the doctor told me a long time ago, if you decide to work for a living, there's certain things you can do and certain things you have to give up. So that was the choice I made.
And was it the right choice for you?
Oh, yeah. I enjoy my work, and I'm a labor activist, you know, trying to instill into people that we are people. We just have... We just do it differently. Mm-hmm. That's all.
When you applied for the job, what were the circumstances?
Oh, well, it was God-given. What happened was there was a main office on Dover Court and College, and they had a 12-plug switchboard. Of course, they don't have it now.
Oh, yes.
And the lady that was on the switchboard got up and just left. Now, they don't do it today, but she just got up and left the job. She didn't say goodbye. She didn't give in her regs. She walked away. And I was learning to work in an office. And so they called me in and said, so I taught myself how to do the switchboard. I'm like that. If I'm going to learn something, I try to learn it well. And the bell repairman at the time showed me everything there is to know about the switchboard and why it breaks down and how to work it. And I learned from the bell repairman and when it broke down and why it broke down. And because I always ask questions, well, how can I fix it? How can I make something better? I still work that way, where if I'm working with something, well, how can I make it better? Where can I put my ideas in? That sort of thing.
And you do have a lovely work record, as your dad has.
Yes.
And you have a similar,
yes,
very strong work record.
Yes. Yes.
And when you applied for the job, was it more difficult for you because of...
My vision? I had a retina detachment, so I lost most of my vision out of this eye. I got lenses in my eyes at the moment, because I had them put in because I had cataracts. So I can see without my big, heavy glasses. Mm-hmm. I had big, heavy glasses at the time. But it was all a learning. Everything's a learning process.
And you're willing to learn and
yes.
to work hard.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
So, but the thing is that, but it also means you don't have too many other, play areas to do. For lack of trying to, you know, like you usually you go to work, you do some kind of social activity, mm-hmm. and I do a little bit, but mostly it's. I prioritize what I'm going to do, and it's not always while I'm going to, you know, the show or whatever, because I don't usually like going to the show by myself. So, mm-hmm.
So your social life is a little bit limited.
Yeah,
yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Well, I can see that you're. I mean, I think it's wonderful the work that you're doing, and I can see that you're proud of what you're doing, and you have every right to be.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to come back to your house again.
Yes.
Do you have air conditioning in your house?
Yes. We got it on now.
Okay. I just put it on lowly.
Yeah.
So it just takes the heat away. And so.
Well, you didn't have it in 1945. I'm sure of that.
No.
So when did you put it in?
Oh.
I mean, not specifically. Right. 10 years ago, 20 years ago?
12 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really glad.
Yeah.
Well, I was buying a new car, and it had air conditioner in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, I can't have air conditioner in a car if they don't have air conditioner in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, I got the air conditioner in the house.
So you bought a new car at that age, 12 years ago.
Well, I change cars quite often because I don't take care of them.
Oh.
they rust out. They don't wear out, they rust out.
Do you remember anything about garbage collection? Anything noteworthy is what I mean. Anything we should talk about?
But it's funny when you mention that, because that's what the guy was called me to the door with the doorbell. He was saying something about the garbage collection, and I couldn't understand too much what he was saying, but that's what he was there to find out. what I thought about the garbage collection. I said, as far as I'm concerned, it's okay. So
That's funny. So you've already talked about it today.
Well, I do know privatized garbage isn't a good idea, because the people that have privatized are way up there. They didn't even get delivery. They didn't come. So a lot of people lost out on their garbage, and it really smelt really bad. Mm-hmm. So there is something to say about public garbage. Mind you, I'm a union activist, but what I've heard from, because I'm on the board of our local, and what I've heard happening isn't very nice. So, I mean, we were really special growing up. We had a lot of privileges growing up.
What are you referring to?
Well, there was garment factories, and clothes were made really well at that time. You didn't have things wear out as fast. The appliances were well put together. They were made here. They lasted a long time. We got a pot here that Mom had that's real iron, and the handle hasn't come off, and it's still, we do our potatoes in it, and that's from, I guess, what, 1945, that pot?
I don't know.
But it's, I mean, I just...
Strong.
It's strong. And it was made here. You know, and my mom worked for Nielsen's chocolate factory that was on Gladstone.
Yes, yes.
You know, and I don't know, there was just something nice about, you know, you sat around the table and... Mom made things homemade, and, you know, not pies from the store. She made them right from scratch, and pies and cakes, and she cooked every day. She worked really hard also, you know, and it was hard. It was hard work, you know, dusting, you know, because you had to dust. When you had coal, there was a lot of coal dust. So she did a lot. She worked really hard in the house, really, really hard. And, you know, that, and also they had a conscience, is the only thing I can think of what you did. You know, like, you took interest in doing a job well, you know, even if it was sweeping the floor or cleaning the toilets. You know, that wasn't something to be ashamed of. Mm-hmm. That was something you did, and it was really important. And today, people are choosy, and a lot of the younger ones, I'm not saying a lot, I don't know, but it seems to me they don't understand about how pulling a file out of a filing cabinet, and, you know, just having the work ethic that we were brought up on.
And they're being fussy.
Yeah. But I just find that there were so many beautiful things that we took for granted, you know, that was right here. You know, Borden used to have Borden Milk Place, right? Spadina, the Borden, and used to have milkshakes, you know, there. Mm-hmm. And they made their milk and dairy, Borden Dairy, right at the corner of Spadina and Spadina.
Just north of college.
Just north of college, you know. Like,
talk to me a little more. You've just transitioned.
Yeah.
And I'd love to spend a few minutes, the two of you, telling me about stores in the neighborhood.
I'm telling you, like Harbor Bakery, they've been here since I was a little kid, and I just love their soup. They make it right there, and their bread and their cakes and their pies, you know, just wonderful. And of course, I remember the butcher store that Dad talks about at the end of the street, you know, like
where was that butcher
was
store?
Arnold's Butcher Shop, right at the corner where the Pizza GD is.
Okay, on Harbor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right on the corner, Lippincott and Harbor. That was the butcher shop.
No, it wasn't on the corner.
Oh, it wasn't on the corner?
No, it was the second building down.
Oh, okay.
From the corner.
Okay.
On Lippincott.
All right.
But that's now a house, I think.
Yes, it is a house.
Okay,
now.
So but, That was the butcher, and it became a house.
It was a butcher shop.
What was on the corner beside the butcher?
I can't really think of what was on the corner there now, because both corners have changed.
They weren't pizza shops.
Weren't for restaurants back then. They changed in later years.
So like what were some of the other businesses?
Markham, where Onnestead's had, Mom always talked about Onnestead's house that he had, you know, his bargain house on Markham. Now it's Big Onnestead's, Onnestead's was the first bargain place, and it always was lined up and was full all the time.
And on this side, I mean, I'm thinking mainly on our side of Bathurst,
okay,
east of Bathurst.
Well, I remember Woolworths, you know, wood floors at Woolworths.
Where was that?
Was on Bloor Street, Bloor and Bathurst, the old Woolworths chain store, W something Woolworths. And it had wood floors. I remember the wood floors, you know, and the black ball candies and, you know, different things like that. And you know, it was everybody was friendly. It wasn't overpacked. People were good. I remember the Woolworth store. And there was a Kresge's, too. I think it was across the street. Kresge's was across the street from Woolworth. But I think Kresge's was across, too. And going downtown, there's a Kresge's, and the Kresge's no longer in existence. But there was a Kresge's. And there was a Woolworth store.
And what other stores? On Bloor or Harbord?
I'm trying to think what was on Harbord besides that. But I know, I do remember the Kresge's, and I do remember Woolworths, and I remember downtown there was a big Kresge's and Woolworths besides Eaton's.
Did they all have wooden floors that you described? Was
standard? I mean, yeah, and you know, where you went to get maybe combs and that. I mean, these were solid wooden. What would you call them? Just like a grocery store, maybe. Things like bins and I remember barrels, you know, really strong barrels. Even the rain barrels, I remember the rain barrels, you know, and it was
beautiful.
So would
people collect the rain?
Yeah, they used to have rain barrels out. I remember the rain barrels.
And people would collect the water?
Yeah.
And what would they do with that water?
I think they probably did their gardens, I would think. But I just remember the wooden, it was beautiful. I loved it. And you'd get, you know, dresses they'd have, you know, and you'd stop at Woolworths, you'd stop and have a soda or something. You'd sit on the stools and have a soda or something down at Bloor and Bathurst.
I remember, I'm from Montreal, and I remember Woolworths. I love their birthday cakes that they would make. Very junky and very tasty.
Yes.
For my palate.
Yes, yes.
But you remember they had a counter with the swivel seats?
Yes.
And you could get a soda.
Yes, and I love, I wore special shoes and braces, and I could hear my feet on the wooden floors. You know, I loved it. Mm-hmm. I loved it. And you could get everything there. I mean, 5 and 10 cents, you know, you get things, you know, bubble gum. But that were the nice, you know, and especially when they're solid wooden, it was here. And people did it here. There was so much employment here through all the little things you did. You know, I love that.
You have lovely memories of the stores that were in what we call Harbord Village.
Yes.
Do you have any recollection of... Do you have any recollection of the stores in the neighborhood?
No, not really. No.
So you're that. So Doreen, you're the one with the memory.
Well, probably Barb, my older sister, would have a lot more, and she's got a lot more pictures. She remembers a lot more, but I do remember that, and to me, that was very exciting.
I think there were some movie theaters.
Oh yes, I remember at Bloor. They had the Bloor Cinema, right beside Woolworths. And I used to go there. I got in there for 12 years old, and I was in my 20s. I thought that was because I looked so young.
And you saved money.
Yes. But and there was a hat shop. There was a hat shop on Bloor, too.
All on that same block.
Yeah.
Oh. Those you don't see anymore, or very, very few.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you remember when they wanted to bring the Spadina Expressway south? Do you have any memories of that? They wanted to bring a highway right through.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember? What do you remember about that?
Well, I remember that, what the heck was his name, cut the ditch off at Eglinton Avenue.
But they wanted to bring it south, and yes, there was opposition.
And I thought they should bring it south, because as I tried to tell the guys when I was at work, we were talking about them cutting the ditch off, you know. I said, well, Toronto, if there ever came a blitz that things were different here, there was no place to get out of Toronto downtown. I said, if they'd run that through to Spadina, the ditch, like they did the subway, if they'd brought it through underneath the Casaloma stables, if they'd brought through and had that all connected with Spadina, there'd have been an opening from downtown out. All right, fire, if a big fire took in or anything like that. But no, it was cut off.
Oh, they had there was a big, big battle around that.
Oh, yeah.
But you feel that the fact that they stopped it abruptly at Eglinton was the wrong decision?
I figured it's the wrong thing to do.
Yes.
It, when they were going underneath anyway with the subway.
Oh, so you're saying it should have gone underground?
Yes, the subway went underground.
Yes.
See, it came across the park on south side of Eglinton, down through under the park, and all they had to do was just raise the ground up there, then go under Casaloma stables, and then hook onto Spadina Avenue. It would have been an outlet,
yeah,
right through,
right,
to
right.
400,
yeah,
for downtown.
So you do remember that, and you had a strong opinion about it.
Oh, yes.
Right, right.
That was when I was working at Greenwood.
Uh-huh, yeah.
When that happened.
What about the University of Toronto? Do you have any thoughts about what it's like for us to be just adjacent to the University of Toronto?
I don't know much about universities.
No, University of Toronto is part of Harvard Street now.
Just being our neighbor is what,
yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, because they have, you know, Spadina and Harvard. It's,
yeah,
owned by the university now.
Yes, I know that.
Yeah.
Over there, but I don't know much about it.
I just know, I don't like the university where they've got that, you know what, Spadina, where they got that thing coming across. I like, what I like is the old masonry work. I don't,
yeah,
like the same as where they ruined the ROM. They spent millions of dollars, and it looks awful.
For the crystal.
Yes, it looks terrible.
So you love the old, beautiful
Mason work,
yeah,
and the artwork that nobody knows how to do now. See, and they never thought, before they pulled things down, that to leave it and be historical about it.
So
they pulled it down too fast and didn't think.
So you're saying at Harvard and Spadina, where they have the University of Toronto,
where the
that
grad
sign,
yeah, the grad house, it's an eyesore.
Yeah, yeah.
But I see, I'm old fashioned. I like things, you know, that are creative and look beautiful with wood.
There's,
you know,
much more design in all.
Yes, it's not just like the cement is just cement. And not only that, it's ruined in a couple of years, and it doesn't even look new. Like even the library at St. George, mm-hmm,
and Harvard.
Harvard.
Yeah.
It, to me, that's my opinion, that it's very ugly. You know, there's nothing beautiful about all these new modern buildings. And, of course, putting all these condos up, it looks like New York. There's no distinctness to Toronto with it being like that. Like, in fact, I wrote a letter to Prime Minister McGuinty about wanting to build condos around the Parliament buildings. That's terrible. So I wrote a letter saying
good,
that shouldn't be.
Good, good.
You
thank
know,
you.
But that's... What certain things I'm strong about, I will write a letter regardless. You know, I will do that because I think it's important, because we can't lose what we've got. Like Collingwood, they built up a bunch of condos, and all around there was beautiful. The birds are gone. and this was more than a couple of years ago, I went through there because my girlfriend lives in Owen Sound, and they never thought, and it looks terrible. They could have spaced it out and made it still part of country, and they haven't. We don't want Toronto, especially the older part of Toronto, ruined, because we have something beautiful here.
Yeah. Well, I know our residents association is fighting for exactly what you're talking about. We feel the same way.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not part of it, but I know
I am part of it.
Well, anyways, that's good, because I feel strongly about keeping the neighborhood the way it is.
Yeah. Well, we're on your side, or you're on our side.
That's right.
What about Kensington Market?
I haven't been. I know it's really crowded at Kensington Market. I remember when it was the Jewish market. It was, oh, yes. I remember that so well. I love the Jewish market.
I know it has been called that.
Yes.
And has your family used it at all?
I think Mom did, because she did a lot of shopping and stuff. So mm-hmm. I think Mom did a lot of shopping in the Jewish market and around, you know, and downtown. But yeah, like, to me, it'll always be the Jewish market, not the way it is. I mean, it's a little overcrowded, but to me, it's still the Jewish market.
Yeah. It's a nice way to think of it.
Yes.
And do you have any comments about Kensington Market?
No, I should know a bit about it, because when I was truck driving in the Army, we were in a schoolhouse just on Nasa Street, just west of Spadina. Mm-hmm. So I should know a little bit about it. I guess I was in there for about a year, truck driving for the Army. The Old Grace Hospital on Huron Street and College was the Army headquarters at the time.
Whoa, oh my God. Okay, slow down. The Old Grace
Hospital
on Huron and
College, on the north side of College, right on the corner of Huron, was the Old Grace Hospital.
Uh-huh.
And during the war, they had officers and such. And,
oh my God. I mean, that's not part of our neighborhood, but it's so interesting. I had to just make sure I had heard you correctly.
Yeah.
What about currently, now, and over the past 20, 40, 60 years, the safety of this neighborhood?
I always thought it was safe, but not the last couple of years. But I don't think it's safe anywhere, really. I think it's because the stability is gone. That's what it is. Like, even the younger people, the stability and the work and the stability of having a God in your life, that really is stable. And they've taken a lot of things away. Like, the nativity scene has gone from the old city hall. Oh, my grandfather built the floors in the old city hall and in Eaton, but the old city hall floors, hardwood floors, my mom's father built.
Whoa,
those. Yes.
Lovely.
Yes. He put those floors. That was his work. But yeah, I think the stability has to come back, and a stability of families have to come back, and that's what's missing. Like, really taking the time to importance of having, like, dinner time, and where, you know, you're not, I've got to go somewhere, but to stay and talk to one another and talk to how you feel and what you're doing, and that has to.
And listen to one another.
Yes, and really listen, not just be polite.
So when you attach that to the topic of security and safety,
yes,
in our neighborhood,
yes, I think that's the only way it'll come back. Because, see, other cultures are coming in, and they don't. I don't know if they have the stability of the family. It all depends on how they've been brought up and what their ideas are. But if we can keep the stability in the Harbor neighborhood, that's what it is. That it could still be better if we work together and talk once in a while to each other. I mean, I'm very blessed with George next door. I say hi to him once in a while, and Neil next door. He's really nice, and of course my neighbor's across the way. So I feel really blessed, because, you know, I can call them up and say hello, and or if I see them, you know, George's going to work when I'm waiting for the bus, and Neil says hi every once in a while.
And I'm very grateful to Neil because he's the one who gave me your names and your phone number.
Yeah.
So I'm very... It was Neil. I started doing these interviews a few months ago.
Oh, yes.
And I'm looking for people who have been here for about 40 years or more. And Neil gave me your names. So I'm very grateful, Tim, because I am just enjoying our conversation.
Yeah. Well, Dad is bringing up stuff that he doesn't think he has anything to say, and all of a sudden he talks about the Grace Hospital and different things like that.
Yeah. Well, I think we're reaching the end of our conversation today, but when you knew I was coming, and when you might have wondered what I might be asking about, did you have any thoughts of what you might want to tell me about, because you've been here for so long?
Well, I never thought about it, to tell you the truth. That's why, or I would have gone up and looked through the old photo album. I never thought about it because I was just thinking all the experience and knowledge Dad had, so it didn't go beyond that. So I didn't widen my thought process on it because I was just thinking of all my Dad's experience.
Oh, so you were thinking he would be the spokesperson.
Yes, because I thought he had all, like, I've heard stories from him and I just enjoy listening, so I just figured Dad's got a lot of stories and I'm willing to sit and listen to his stories.
Well, I'm glad that I encouraged you to speak up because you had a lot to contribute.
Thank
now,
you.
Now, George, what I just asked is there anything that you think would be worthwhile for us to talk about that I didn't ask about today?
I don't think so. No.
Well, what about Massey Ferguson had a big plant. Dad worked for Massey Ferguson. It's no longer in existence.
Where was that?
Was on Spadina, wasn't it?
No.
Oh?
They were, where I worked for them was down at, just at King and east of Dufferin.
Okay, so that's not in our neighborhood.
No.
Massey Ferguson had a big company there that turned out farm machinery of that. And while I was on Naza Street in the Army, mm-hmm. on, of course, I was truck driving and that in the daytime, but most of the time my nights were free. So I worked for Massey Ferguson at nights.
Well, you worked a lot. You worked a lot.
Yeah. I helped put combines together, such as that.
So, well, you're a very youthful 97-year-old man. You really are.
As everybody said, I was always after the almighty dollar.
And you worked for it.
They were hard to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would be interested, if you have the time, not at this moment, but if you could look through some old albums, if you have some more pictures, I would come back.
Okay, I will do that. And I will see if Barb can send some old pictures of what the house looked like. I can ask her.
House and people. The characters who lived in the house.
Yes.
So I'm about to turn this off, but before I do, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Doreen. Thank you, George. It's been a total pleasure. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.